Welcome to the meeting tonight. Nice to see you here tonight. Nice warm evening. And also to all the mothers that are here, happy Mother's Day. And trust tonight that if you were here, that if you were not saved, that tonight will be a night that you put your trust in the Savior. We're not here to preach a religion. We're not here to promote membership of a gospel hall. We're not here to look for some sort of religious commitment. But what we're here tonight is to present to you a person that can change your life, but more importantly, can change your eternity. So with that, we're going to ask for God's help. We're going to pray, and then we'll open the scriptures together. Our Father, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus. We're thankful for the songs that we can sing about Christ as a Savior of sinners. And if we look at the Bible, we can really see that there's not one human being that doesn't escape that title. We are all born sinners. The Bible itself says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And even if we're honest with ourselves, even without even opening the Bible, we can know that we are fall far short of even human standards when it comes to being good people. We try, but we all know what it is to lie and to and maybe not be 100% truthful. And as kids, we disobeyed our parents. There's many things that would really show us that we are sinners, but as the Bible is very clear, each one of us are sinners. But yet we are thankful it was for sinners that Christ went to the cross. And it's through, as one would say many years ago, it's through this man we can preach the forgiveness of sins. We just pray for help tonight to be simple, to be clear. And we pray most of all that there be even a soul put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. So we just ask for help in our Savior's name. Amen. I want to read a very familiar verse. It's actually posted on the wall to my left, to your right. We're going to read it. So 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, and we'd welcome you, and we'd welcome you as well. Thursday night, a prayer meeting and Bible study here at 7:30, and then next Sunday morning, it's a little earlier just because of the Prince Edward Island Conference. Remember, it's meeting here at 9:30, and is there a gospel meeting next Sunday night? I'm not sure yet, but normally on Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock, you'd be welcome to come. And if you're interested in hearing the gospel, there's a conference going on at Bluefield High, and there'll be a gospel meeting at 6:30 both Saturday night and Sunday night. You'd be welcome to that. And there's actually a Bible conference. I think the first meeting is at 10 on Saturday. That's at Bluefield High School, and you'll be welcome to attend that as well. So with that, we're going to read this very well-known verse from 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to his younger, but good friend Timothy. He writes these words, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And read it again. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And he adds this, "of whom I am chief." But really, it's that center section I want to really focus on, but we'll look at the context of this verse, and we trust God will bless the reading of his word and to give help. I actually had something else on my mind, but my nephew and my older brother stole it from me last week. That's okay. I was thinking along the same lines, and they handled it well. And I was thinking this week, this verse was just sort of, it was on my mind, so I just want to be very plain, very simple, and hopefully very brief, but really try to convey to you the importance of the Word of God, the importance of the coming of the Savior into the world. We begin, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." Now, we're familiar with public service announcements, whether it's, you see that on Facebook, you know, with having children in school, in the wintertime, you often, when you first wake up, one of the first things I usually checked was check Facebook and the Department of Education or the school board to see if schools were delayed. And I remember when I was in school, I usually get up. I didn't like getting up very early normally, but when there was a possibility of a storm, I was up at 6, probably 6 a.m., listening to the radio, hoping school was going to be canceled. So we're familiar with public service announcements. You know, there's oftentimes there's announcements that go out. They only really apply to certain people. You know, if you're driving to PEI from New Brunswick and So you're coming along almost to Confederation Bridge. There's a big sign there that says, when these lights are flashing, all traffic must exit. You know, there's often times that, you know, it's quite windy and stormy, and you actually, if you listen to the radio, or even once you get close to the bridge, there'll be a big sign saying something along the lines of no high-sided vehicles. Well, in that case, it only applies to a certain group of people. You know, I'm driving a car, and I see that it says high-sided vehicles. Well, I'm driving a Honda Civic or Honda Accord. That doesn't apply to me. I can go across the bridge. But if I was driving a tractor trailer or a camper or a truck with a tall trailer, that announcement would apply to me. But I haven't had it yet. Of all the years the bridge has been open, I've never been driving along and have that sign flash and it says all traffic must exit. But yet we do get the idea, don't we, when it says the word all. And here is the Apostle Paul as he's writing. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. You know, this is a message that applies to every single human being that lives in the world, because every single one of us qualifies, as he talks about a little later in this verse, when he says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Somebody my age and older would remember, you know, Mr. Payne. I mean, he used to be very, look forward to his visit. But I remember when he gets eight, sinners didn't really apply to me. I just knew that Christ died for bad people. You guys remember him saying that. Someone remember him saying that. And he said, I knew I was a bad people. And maybe that's tonight. Maybe you think that, you know, I haven't committed any great sins. I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't robbed a bank, or I haven't committed terrible crimes against fellow human beings. So I'm just a little sinner. And that's the way we think, don't we? I might have cheated on a test, or I might have lied to my parents, or maybe snuck a cookie from the cookie jar, or, you know, told little white lies. And we think, well, that's just such a little sin. Well, one sin will keep you out of heaven forever. God is very, very clear. Not one sin will ever enter into heaven. And it's not even the fact that God won't allow, and he can't. But the fact is that because of who God is, God can't tolerate sin. Now, we live in a world where, you know, it's good for us to maybe tolerate other people that have different opinions, or have different, maybe they have different tastes and different preferences. We should tolerate each other in a sense, but when it comes to toleration, when it comes to sin, God totally can't. It's just, you know, if you're in the world of computers or cell phones or different things, we get the idea of incompatibility. It just does not fit. It does not work. It's like water and oil. You ever tried to take a bucket of water? It's just maybe a little illustration. A few weeks ago, we were working on a job, and Dana, that works with us, he was filling up the generator, and maybe there's a little bit of a backstory here. A couple weeks before that, I was working on a job, and we had to put some hydraulic spinning around a water line that was going into a foundation before it got backfilled. So I looked in the tool trailer, and there was no hydraulic spent. There was no water. They were there with the backhoe ready with the excavator to fill it back in. So Michael's father, Serge, he, knowing anybody that knows Serge, right into action. He shows up with the hydraulic cement and with some water, but you could put in a gas can. Well, I did the job. Fine, they got backfilled. Well, somehow that red gas can got put in their tool trailer. Forgotten about for 2 or 3 weeks, and well, Dana had another job. He was filling up the generator for the day, and he knows there's these 3 or 4 cans and a little bit of gas. So he dumped them all in, didn't think much of it. And he started the generator up, and he's working away. Well, you know what happened. Eventually, he got to the water. The generator just died. So Hans and I end up back at the shop doing something else, and we traded generators. And Hans said, you may as well try to figure that out. So I checked the spark plug, checked all these different things. Well, in the process, I just know something wasn't right in the carburetor. It didn't seem like gas. Well, what happened was the water and the gas just it's not compatible. As much as we'd like to be able to take the garden hose and fill our fuel tank up to make it run, it's just not going to work. So how I end up finding out that it was water and gas, I took an old pop bottle and I ran it in. Well, you can see it separated. The water runs to the bottom, the gas floats on top, and the cat. So that's what happened. It was totally incompatible. And that's really the same idea when it comes to sin. It just does not mix. It's not compatible. It won't work. So when it comes to your sin and my sin, and because we are all sinners, it's impossible for us to get into God's heaven in that condition. That was mentioned last week, and I was thinking about what's said in Job. How can a man be right with God? And that's why the Apostle Paul, as he writes these words to Timothy, and he says that this is a faithful saying, this is a trustworthy statement that's worthy of everybody accepting it. Excuse me, that Christ Jesus came in to the world to save sinners. Now, we all are familiar with the Christmas story. We're familiar with the story of Bethlehem when the Lord Jesus came in to the world. And we love to think about it. We love to celebrate. We enjoy that time of year. But there was a reason in which that he came into the world, and that was to go to Calvary, to make a difference in our lives and in our hearts. You know, that was within of a, you know, Brody often talks about, you know, we think of sin so often, don't we, on the outside? The drinking and the smoking and the swearing and all these things. We think about those things that are on the outside. But again, as Brody labors time and time again, the problem is in the inside. The problem begins inside within our heart. And each one of us has a heart that is wicked. Even Jeremiah, many years ago, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Desperately wicked. And he says, who can know it? So the reason the Lord Jesus came into the world to go to the cross, and as he dealt with sin, as he suffered, as he was nailed by his hands and his feet to a cross, and as in the darkness of Calvary being nailed there, God took our sin, and he was punished for our sins. And what God is offering to you tonight through his Son is not only is it a forgiveness of sins, and we can appreciate that, but you know what salvation actually does? It changes us. It changes us from the inside. The sin begins within. And even though maybe you look at me and look at other Christians and say, well, they still are not perfect. And let me tell you, every single Christian, as much as we try to be good people, and we should be, right now we still have something within that the Bible calls the flesh. You know, there's coming a day we're going to hear a shout and these bodies are going to be changed and we'll never sin again, but there's something that happened the moment that you put your trust in Christ. There's a change within. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So as I ask you tonight, have you ever been saved? Have you ever come face to face with your sin? You know, the story in the Old Testament about there the children of Israel as they were traveling from Egypt to Canaan, and there as God had provided so much for them. And another thing that we as people like to do, we like to complain. And they were complaining about this, and then, you know, they're complaining about this bread that God had provided, and they really spoke out against God, and God sent little fiery serpents, little poisonous snakes. And those snakes bit the people, and as you know, a lot of these, some of these poisonous snakes, you get bit by them. It's a death sentence. And the Bible tells us that many people of Israel died. Well, what did, you know, they came to Moses saying, well, pray to God, you know, get rid of these snakes. You know, that getting rid of the snakes may have prevented other people from being bitten, but did nothing for the people that were already bitten. And maybe that's what you are thinking about. You're saying, well, that's it. From this day on, I'm going to live a life. I'm going to turn over a new leaf, and I'm never going to sin again. Well, number one, it's not going to work. And number two, what about the sins of the past? And there is those children of Israel as they went to Moses asking him to take away the snakes. And yes, the snakes had to go. And yes, it's good to clean up your life if you are involved in, you know, drinking and smoking and drugs and all those different things. Yeah, those things should go, but that's not going to take care of the past. And for those people that had already been bitten, they were ready to die. God provided something better. Yes, the snakes were taken away. But then as God told Moses to take a serpent of brass and to make a snake and put it on a pole, and he was told that anybody that looks upon that snake will live. And really, why would God tell them to use a snake? Well, really what God was trying to get them to think about was you have to face your sin. And that's what you need to do tonight. People don't like to face their sin. People do not like to face the fact that I can't do this on my own. You know, it seems to be, especially in men, we don't like failing at doing different tasks. It's maybe we seem to be independent. We like to feel like we're macho, that we can handle things on our own. But when it comes to our sin, we are totally helpless. You know, the verse that means a lot to me, and I know it means a lot to David and some others that are here tonight, for when were we yet? It doesn't say of little strength. It doesn't say that when we were just lacking a little bit of strength, we just need a little bit of a bump to get over the top. No, no. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And tonight I can present to you a Savior that can save you. I can present to you a Savior that loves you, a Savior that if he was to stand here physically like I am, he could present to you even much better than I could ever think of. But we are presenting to you a real message from the Bible. And we can tell you that the Lord Jesus died for you. The Lord Jesus, he loves you, and he's just waiting for you to receive him as your Savior. And just as those people, as they heard the message, you look at the serpent of brass, you'll live. God is telling you, you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins will be forgiven. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And as Paul, he says, of whom I am chief. Well, Paul, he was a religious person before he was saved. And really what he was doing, he was part of a religious organization, and he hated these Christians. He hated these people that were following this one, the Lord Jesus. And what he was trying to do was to get as many of these people as he could to take them and to have them killed. There is Paul as he was on the Damascus Road. There was an interaction that he had. You can read about it in Acts chapter 9. And Paul was come face to face with the Lord Jesus. And there is as Paul, as Saul as he was named before. He understood that he was really kicking against God. God was trying to speak to him. Maybe that's where you're at tonight. God is trying to reach your heart. God is trying to speak to you through different circumstances. Maybe as you're maybe at school, or you're sitting at home and you're thinking about what you hear in Sunday school, what you hear in the gospel, and there's little thoughts that come into your mind. God is trying to reach your heart. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Not one of us can save ourselves. You know, that's really, you know, the religious world, it's all about what I can do. You know, do the best you can, and then hopefully if once, you know, in the future, the Bible doesn't talk about this, but this is the idea a lot of people have. Well, if I have enough good deeds in my life and they outweigh my bad deeds, and God will drag me into heaven. It's not in the Bible. The Bible is very clear. It is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Lord Jesus said that himself. And as Paul, as he's writing to his friend him, as he writes these words, that this is a faithful saying, and worthy of everybody's acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's really the understanding, is that we did all the sinning, but Christ does all the saving. And as Christ suffered and gave his life upon the cross, he answered to God for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of the whole world. And it's through what the Lord Jesus Christ did upon the cross that we can, from the Word of God, present to you. This is not our message. This is not, you know, this is not something that people at the Gospel Hall come up with. This is from the Word of God. And tonight we are just simply presenting to you the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that can and is longing and wants to save you. But first, you have to receive him. It's not again, it's not becoming a member of a church. And as much as we believe that believers, there's a baptism tank behind me, as much as we believe that those that are saved should be baptized, being baptized doesn't bring you an inch closer to heaven. Giving money to a church does not get you into heaven. Being a good person doesn't get you into heaven. Taking the communion, even though we believe it, we do that here every Sunday morning, but it does not get you an inch closer to heaven. It's simply you admitting before God that I have sinned and understanding that it's for sinners that the Lord Jesus gave his life. It's for sinners that he suffered and died upon the cross. And as I mentioned, I think in prayer already, it was a Peter, it was a Paul, many years ago, he said that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. You simply understanding that, yes, I have sinned. I have no right, I have no reason for God to even love me. But because God is love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I trust tonight that as Marcus closes the meeting, that you will understand the reason that the Lord Jesus came. That you will understand that my sin is against God, and that sin will completely keep me separated from heaven and separated from God. But Christ has did a work to clear that separation out. And if you're willing to just take your place as an ungodly sinner, then you will understand that that is the reason that Jesus died. And just as a free gift, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And God is offering to you tonight. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.